We are live. Welcome back to the High Kind. It's me, Huntley. I'm with Andy and David.
Yo.
What have you two been up to?
I'll go.
Yes.
Take the charge.
take the charge.
Two things. First, I found this awesome new show on Amazon. It's called Truth Seekers.
Uh-huh.
It's fucking great. It's a paranormal team of paranormal investigators, and they start discovering some weird shit about society and what's going on with it.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really funny. So check it out. It's
just check it out.
A lot of fun. Yeah. And cool. Yeah, and I got a tarot deck and a
nice
book. Yeah. So
awesome.
Did my first reading tonight and it was interesting.
How'd it go?
Pretty good. It was like it actually like described, it wasn't like a direct answer to the question I asked, but it did describe the situation very like pretty accurately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. Pretty much asked it about if I should continue with this writing challenge that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. What was the result? What was the answer?
Let me get my notebook. I'm going to record all of my readings for future reference.
Good idea. Yeah.
So I did.
I usually take pictures of them.
Make it easy. Oh, that's a good idea too.
Yeah.
I did inverted cards as well.
Good.
It was past was an inverted King of Cups, present was Four of Wands, and the future was a reverse chariot.
Well, I'm gonna have to look that up later.
Yeah. Well, essentially, the idea is that the inverted King of Cups like represents like frustration or like pent up creative energy or just like disorganized and chaotic.
Gotcha.
So that was okay. The past, and that definitely lines up because I was just like, hey, on a whim, I'm gonna write 50,000 words this month. Let's see what happens. And then the present is like the Four of Wands is like controlled creativity, like not like overbearing, not too little, like just the right amount of like motivation. And that's kind of how I feel about it, but I'm also, it's not like creativity directed specifically at the writing challenge. I'm also getting more interested in and brushing up on my physics and stuff, which is like contributing to
your
the
passion,
world building. Oh yeah, it's my passion for sure. But it's also giving me a lot of cool ideas for world building for my like main, like bigger novel series. So while the energy is not, you know, specifically the project, like it's still happening and I'm pretty happy with it. And then the inverted chariot for the future is basically like I may or may not complete the challenge, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. If I do complete it, I'll have to just devote more to it and just have more motivation directed at it.
Well, and either way, you're going to be developing good habits, like, you know, as far as writing goes. So, like, it's kind of a win no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to take it. I write so many projects at once, and I will be very much on fire for like months writing projects, and I'll be like, I'm bored with this and don't feel, you know, creative enough, and then I just kind of shelve them, and then sometimes I go back to them, and other times I start new projects.
I struggle with that too many projects at once thing for sure.
Yeah. That's always been my downfall when writing.
I'm kind of the same way. I hop back and forth between a bunch of stuff all the time, so staying focused is a challenge.
I mainly use the major arcana when I do tarot. Huntley, do you use major only, or do you do major and minor?
I do major and minor.
Yeah. I just never really, I don't know. I guess I kind of wanted to simplify it because the way I pull tarot takes so long. Like, because I use my, my clairsentience to kind of like, it's hard to describe, but there's like a pull or something like I feel for the card. But yeah, I just started, I'm mainly only using the major arcana just to simplify it because it's a lot easier to go through the, you know, that many cards than the whole deck.
But yeah.
I was just curious. Well, cool.
Yeah. No, he showed me a really awesome deck the other day, and the minute it goes on sale, I'm buying.
Yep.
Yeah. Post in the chat. Yeah. Post in the chat.
I will post it. I will post it in the chat. It, the artwork on it is amazing. And my favorite person that makes tarot is currently on hiatus, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You've seen both my two. Well, I have a bunch of tarot decks, but you've seen the two I use the most. You two have seen the two I use the most.
Yeah.
Andy, what have you been up to, though?
Had a little bit minor health issue, so I've been sleeping a lot and watching Star Trek Voyager when I'm conscious and, you know, healing. You know, and then getting finally, hopefully, this week back to artwork and stuff like that. So I guess I kind of had an off week pretty much a little bit. But got to rest, that's for sure. Maybe pushing myself a little too far, but
my sleep schedule is fucked again.
Yep.
Trying to get it back back to normal. Stayed up late last night, woke up early, did all my errands that I usually do first of the week. And now I'm just kind of foggy right now. So if I'm a little loopy and making weirder jokes than usual, this is
That's good. This will be good. Yeah.
Yeah. But this week we're talking about skinwalkers. And basically the legend of them, supposed abilities, sightings, and at the very end we'll talk a little bit about Skinwalker Ranch. Skinwalker Ranch would probably need an entire episode dedicated to it, of all the things, but just we'll go over just some little notes on Skinwalker Ranch. But I wanted to start off with a couple of sightings that, you know, I've read. And the first one is in South Texas. And this basically, the story goes that a man's brother saw something out there. And according to him, it was around 3:15 a.m. He heard a chorus of dogs barking loudly and aggressively down the alley behind our house. So he gets up, walks down the hall, and stares out the back door while facing south. After gazing out the window for about 5 minutes, he swears he saw what he can only describe as a combination of a humanoid figure with the head of a wolf-looking animal dart down the alley in a flash. He describes being able to see its ribs protruding from its skin. As it ran, he said it looked like it was bending over with its palms flat on the ground, kind of like the way someone would bend down to touch their toes if they were stretching. He added that it didn't look too hairy, but appeared to have human skin, all while possessing a translucent white smoke color all around it. Even as it was hunched over, he said it was about 5 feet and 5 feet tall and about 5 inches. The following day, he told my parents about it, and they happened to mention it to one of the neighbors. My brother, citing their boxer had been stolen from their backyard. Instead of thinking my parents and my brother were a bunch of kooks, the lady neighbor, whom we found out came from a Native American background and whose Native American mother had given her the dog as a gift, told my parents that it was probably what Native Americans refer to as a skinwalker, and that it was probably looking for her stolen dog. She also mentioned that whomever stole the dog was probably cursed now. This is another Texas story. This is in Inis, Texas. I hope I pronounced that right. I think Garth Inis when I see Inis. But a friend and I decided to...
Who?
Huh?
Garth Inis?
Yeah, Preacher.
I don't know.
The Boys.
Boys.
Comic books.
Oh, sorry. Okay, got it. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't know who you were talking
terrible.
About.
Now I do. Fucking terrible. Yeah.
Sorry.
I still need to read Preacher. I've kind of like skimmed through a couple of random bits.
Preacher is Preacher. The TV show's good. I enjoyed the TV show. I'm trying not to veer too far off track here. I enjoyed the TV show a lot.
You brought it up.
But the fucking comic is amazing. It is amazing. I know neither of you are easily offended, but if you're a listener who's easily offended, do a little research before you read Preacher. But anyways, this happened in Ines, Texas. A friend and I noticed this, and I decided to drive to Ines to see The Purge: Anarchy on a Sunday afternoon. I had never been into the drive-in movie theater, and he said it would be an experience to see that particular movie there. After the movie was finished, we were driving around the service road trying to find a gas station to make it back to North Dallas. My friend was driving the car, and I was on the passenger side looking at older houses. One house that we passed there was a man, but not a man, by the mailbox, and his body was contorted, severely emaciated, and he was rocking and scratching himself. His face was long and a bit demented, and I asked my friend if he saw it, and he said, yes, it was a skinwalker. I was in disbelief, so I asked him to turn the car around.
Just casually.
So I could confirm what we saw. He obliged, but when we got back there in the same area, it was gone. I thought it could potentially be a man on some severe drugs, but his limbs were way too long to have been a man. I mean, I would do the same thing. If I saw something weird driving by, I would be like, he turned the shit around. Yeah. Let's go check this out.
Is that a soul leading demon?
I would.
Let's turn this bitch around. Let's get a picture.
I mean, you're in a car. You're going to be, unless like last week with the bonus show where the thing chased down the car and jumped in the back of the bed with it.
I was going to say, I've seen enough horror movies to know that cars don't guarantee protection. If anything, they're more of a liability.
I just love how casually it was just like, that was a skinwalker. Yeah. Yeah. That what we just told? Yeah. Yeah. They're everywhere. You know, roaming around, vagrant
in this area. Just roaming around, just chilling, hanging out and stuff. You know.
Mingling with
maybe
the denizens.
Maybe he was a mailman, you know? Maybe
it was a mailman.
Maybe he got
they went to go dishes. See. All right, first, I have to dispute that statement of the mailman, even though I know it was in jest. First, they went to go see a movie at a drive-in theater. You can't have drive-in movie. You can't have drive-in theaters without it being nighttime. So why would the mailman be out?
Well, that didn't stop Samwise Gamgee from trimming the hedges in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you that one. Yeah, I can't argue against that. Yeah. No, they're not working at night. Yeah. There's no way. Yeah.
They're not working at night.
Yeah, they're government workers.
If this would have been any other theater, I'd be like, we could maybe work on the assumption that it's daytime.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But
you win.
Yeah. All right. So the next story is from Gallup, New Mexico. My uncle and cousin saw a large deer on the side of the road. When they got closer, it hopped over a fence like a bipedal man. One time driving back from Gallup, my dad saw an old Navajo woman walking on the side of the road, and when he slowed to offer her a ride, she looked at him and then took off into the plains quickly with inhuman speed. This is couple of different incidences that this person and by proxy has witnessed. Once when I was a kid, my family was at my aunt's house, which is in a rural secluded area. When we were toyed with a few entities, they would make animal noises, and when we looked into the direction from which the noises were coming, they would turn a flashlight on and off. The noises would come from all directions in increasingly shorter succession. Usually when I'm there on the reservation visiting alone late at night, I feel the presence of evil and dread. Panic, paranoia will wash over me as sudden as it comes, and then it will leave.
That sounds like a lot of those kind of haunted place interactions, you know, with the possible infrasound was the Mythbusters explanation for it, but I talked about that before, but like, yeah, with a lot of hauntings and like malicious entities, there's that feeling of deep dread. Yeah, it's like what Mothman and Black Eyed Kids, yeah. And well, all of them.
Yes, yes. And we're going to be talking about some of that stuff on our bonus show, where we're going to be telling you a story about somebody that is currently experiencing a haunting and having similar reactions.
Interesting.
So listen later on in the week, people. Now, this is the final story, and I will have to say, you know, trigger warning, there is some stuff in here that is going to have some, for those that are very sensitive about animals being harmed. Actually, a lot of this episode you probably don't want to listen to. But this is from an unknown location. I was spending a month with my cousins at my grandmother's house. It was August, and my cousins' ages ranged from 10 to 15. I was the oldest, being 15. I was staying with a 10, 13, and 14-year-old, and we stayed up telling scary stories often. But one night, a few weeks in, we decided to make a campfire out back. My grandmother's house is in a rural suburb. The neighbors aren't too far when you're driving down the road to her house, but in the backyard, it's the thickest forest with man-made paths through it. Each house is on a hill, so the only part of the basement was actually underground. This isn't important until later, though. So we're towards the east side of her yard in a smallish patch of open land. You couldn't see the neighbor's yard from there, and there was probably 3/4 mile to the each side of us that belonged to my grandmother. It was maybe 11 at night when we were playing truth or dare after telling scary stories, and my 14-year-old cousin dared me and the 13-year-old to do a walk through the paths for 10 minutes or so. I said yes right away, so as I wasn't easily scared and rather level-headed. But my younger cousin was a bit more hesitant. We didn't bring a flashlight because it wasn't pitch dark yet, and we would see enough not to die. Not to die.
That's my first concern when I we walk were walking in the dark.
Yeah, my first concern. Yeah, am I going to die? That's a legitimate concern if you're walking into the woods late at night. Am I going to die without a flashlight? We were walking through the pass for about 5 minutes and could barely see the fire through the trees. Should have brought a fucking flashlight. When we decided to turn in the middle of the path and we saw what was like a large dog-like creature hunched over with its front hands an inch above the ground. What I remember the most was how its eyes were so fucking bright white, and it was a humanoid dog shaped like a human with the head of a dog. Like human body, dog head, and human feet. It looked right at us, and I know I was paralyzed with fear as it dashed away, the opposite away from us, towards a creek that ran through the yard. Eventually, my cousin and I screamed bloody effing murder, and the other cousins and my grandma ran to us. I don't remember how much here because I was really disoriented and I couldn't think properly, but I did wake up in the bed, so I assumed that I was brought up to the house. All the kids slept in the basement in a big room with sliding glass doors to the outside, as the room was on the side that wasn't underground. My bed was pressed against a big glass window, and I could see my cousins playing outside below the house in Michigan, so it gets slightly chilly even in the end of August, and there was a slight breeze, so I put on my jacket and ran outside to join them, skipping breakfast and not wanting to miss out on any of the fun. When I got down, I could tell they weren't playing, but rather running to get my grandma. Her dogs, both of them were dead, ripped up that night. We went to sleep early. I woke up maybe 2 a.m. because I felt something hit my head. My cousins were all sitting on the double bed opposite me on the other side of the room. That was the one bunk bed, and two double beds were shared by me and my 14-year-old cousin. They were just being quiet and staring at me. The 13-year-old nodded his head toward the window, and I froze. They all looked afraid, and I turned my head slightly outside, and I saw a really messed up looking face pressed to the window with gaping eyes looking down at me. I screamed so fucking loud and bolted. My grandmother called the police, and after I told her what happened, they found nothing. I went home after that, and I have not been there since that night.
Yikes.
So, yeah, that would be terrifying.
I wouldn't go back either.
That would be terrifying. Yeah. Like my biggest thing is I'm not scared of like traditional stuff. I'm not scared of heights. I'm not scared of spiders. I'm not scared of snakes. But the one thing that gives me like the chills is the idea of somebody looking at me from a window and I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's why I always put my blinds down at night.
Yeah.
And the NSA.
Yeah.
Had to slide that in there. So, the Skinwalker. Just a general idea of what a Skinwalker is, unless you guys have any comments about those stories.
Man. That last one was pretty frightening.
Yeah, the first one with the description about the ribs protruding out, that reminded me of like a Wendigo without the deer antlers.
Yeah.
But the other ones just sound like really deformed dog, wolf, human hybrid things.
Are there any dates for any of these occurrences?
Most of them are early, like late 2000s to about 2016 is the latest.
Also, no exact date.
No exact dates.
I was curious. I kind of wonder if there's like any correlation to like any cycles of the moon or something like that. You know, kind of got a whole werewolf route.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, wonder if there's any relations because. But oh well.
I mean, if you're a listener and you have had an encounter with a skinwalker, by all means, email us. Tell us, like, time and date. We will get real serious about it and try to pair it up with everything from, like, what we know about ley lines to moon phases to whether there's a haunted creek near you.
Divination.
Like, divination. This is our interest that we will go all out. Yes, we're high, but we're dedicated.
we will plow through the cornfields of destiny to find an answer for you.
We will try our damnedest. We will plow through those fields. But anyways, the Skinwalker comes from the Navajo legend of a harmful witch that can shapeshift into any animal, but is usually associated with trickster animals like coyotes. But it's also been speculated, and people have said crows, foxes, owls.
Okay.
Now, in Navajo culture, these witches are evil, but everybody that practices, you know, shaman or medicine magic, they learn both the medicine and the magic on the good side and the dark side. Yeah. And most can handle this responsibility, but those that travel down the dark path are deemed skinwalkers because they become too corrupt.
I was just, did you ever read any of the Carlos Castaneda books at any point?
Been a while.
But yeah, it deals with a lot of that, the shamanism and like things like that, like both learning the evil and the good and like forcing them to use like both abilities to kind of see which one kind of, you know, chooses you kind of. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that goes along with some of my beliefs and practices is that I learn both what you would call the right hand and the left hand path because of my personal philosophy on it. And I don't judge anybody that's just like, no, I don't want to dabble in the more creepier stuff, I guess. But I'm just like, I feel like me personally, you're not having a full wheelhouse of understanding unless you, you know, study both.
Yeah. I kind of look at it like specializations too, though. You know what I mean? Like my specialization, I guess, would end up being protective magic and, which I can never remember the name. There's a technical name for that, but and like everyone has their own kind of the things they kind of vibe with, I guess, but, it's interesting with the Skinwalker stories too, because like sometimes it's a curse, but then you got to wonder too, because like with the Carlos Castaneda books, they talked about shapeshifting while they were in these hallucinogenic journeys, supposedly, right? But what if they were in the astral realm? Well, you could easily shapeshift there, you know? So it's like,
exactly.
You know, like maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's something to that, you know, with, maybe people just happen to see them or
see a glimpse of their astral.
I guess form. So. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I kind of agree with that. But that'll tie into just kind of what we're seeing here with their abilities. These are, and just know that the abilities of skinwalkers are all over the place, but these are some of the ones that stood out that I've seen like people say more than once. They can shift into animals, but they can also steal people's faces.
Ugh.
Okay.
Yeah. If you lock eyes with a skinwalker, they can absorb themselves into your body and take control of your actions. Possession.
Okay. Yep.
If those two wasn't fucking scary enough, people, skinwalkers are also said to be able to run at incredible long distances. Some say over 200 miles in one evening.
See, this makes it all sound more like a spirit, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. Skinwalkers have a tendency to hang around graveyards and can dig up graves at an impossibly fast speed. And that there's a lot I've seen them like being able to use victims' bodies as a kind of poisonous dust.
Interesting. Okay. I have an idea. Keep going.
And various different, you know, various different things. There's a lot of different abilities that people claim that skinwalkers have.
This definitely blows my initial thoughts out of the water, because I was thinking before, like the mention of the witchcraft and, you know, the corrupted magic, that maybe this is some kind of primal beast, like similar to a Wendigo, right? Mm-hmm. Where they just get deformed to this state where they're just primitive and raw aggression. But this is more and more sounding like just like intentional kind of some kind of dark magic. And corruption with like with an aspect of sentience to it.
And that's the thing, is when people hear skinwalkers, like I've seen lots of videos of people being like skinwalker. Or stories about skinwalkers. And the reason why I picked those stories is because they remind me of skinwalkers being like sentient, not just a mindless beast, aware of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like when you think of werewolves, you think of just beast that can't control itself, just running around doing shit. And skinwalkers come off the opposite to me, as they're aware of what they're doing, that they are, you know, they have an awareness that they're just not some mindless savage beast just ripping apart everything. Like the last story, like it knew that the kids were there. It knew to scare the kids. It knew to keep fucking with them.
Hmm.
And that's my opinion on it.
Has there been any other like supernatural phenomenon in any of those other, like, I know, because a lot of that was Texas. Is it all concentrated in one region or something like that?
No, it was spread out. I checked the maps. I feel that most of the stories, like Southwest Texas, like I would say that they connect more in a vicinity that's closer to New Mexico and potentially from New Mexico to Utah.
Interesting.
Around that area. Because that's where most of the stories originate, is in Mexico, New Mexico reservations. Mm-hmm. And then you have from New Mexico, the connection there that would connect to Utah.
There's also some kind of interesting, like, just thoughts off the top of my head of, like, relations to some other myths, maybe. Obviously, the Wendigo, you know, like David was talking about how there's some, might be some, actually, something, you know, like, I don't know, similarities at least. But what popped in my head was the Arabic myth of the ghoul, right? It's a demon-like being that lives in graveyards and eats corpses and shit like that. But it's a type of demon in Arabic folklore. So it's, you know, really interesting. And there's male and female versions, apparently. And the females will, like, basically shapeshift into, like, something else to lure, like, usually a man, you know, like a seductress, I guess, and into her home where she can eat them. All right, so, like,
yeah,
There's a lot of similarities in these myths a little bit. You know, there's cannibalism involved a lot. And while they don't specifically mention it with the skinwalker from what you said, you can probably infer it if they're in graveyards and like digging up graves, right? So
yeah,
there's the cannibalism streak here is very interesting, as well as you know, I guess when they can't find and then the shape-shifting thing seems to maybe be part of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. But skinwalkers really didn't really start becoming a thing. I mean, they were always there in Navajo, like, lore and other Native American lore. But it didn't really become a thing until late 90s, early 2000s, with the internet, as a lot of these things have started taking off, stories of different cryptids. But this is coming from Legends of America. It's another great website that, you know, I use to do research on various different things. But this is some of the stuff that, like, where the Skinwalker story really started taking hold. And we're going to go to Skinwalker Ranch. And as I said, Skinwalker Ranch is a story in its own. I'm really going to just give little glimpses. I'm mostly going to focus on the cryptids that have been spotted in Skinwalker Ranch, but there's all sorts of activity like UFOs, strange lights, holes in the sky.
Yeah.
But we would really have to sit down and dedicate an entire episode to what happens at Skinwalker, aka Sherman Ranch. But just a general idea of where Sherman Ranch is, it is about 512 acres, and it's about a 3-hour drive from Salt Lake City. So it's pretty close to the bottom of the map connecting to New Mexico. And it's called Sherman Ranch because a family, the Sherman family, bought it. And after witnessing multiple paranormal experiences, so many of them, that they left the ranch after 18 months. They were just like, nah, fuck this, I'm out. Yep. But the Sherman family was a family of four, which included a husband and wife, a teenage son, and a 10-year-old daughter. And like during that 18 months, they encountered a lot of shit. And rumor has it that the Navajo tribe cursed, like a shaman, cursed that land of a rival tribe that they had previous transgressions with. And that's why so much cryptid activity is there, is because, you know, they were feuding tribes and the Navajo were just like, well, fuck you, curse. Yeah. But according to reports, the skinwalkers have been seen in the area by many, from like local tribes to just like, you know, white people, numerous times. And the witches have been spied near the ranch, close to a nearby fort, in various areas on the reservations. One account described them looking like humans with dog heads smoking cigarettes. Another described them as large black hairy humanoid figures that were very fast. They're also described as having unusual large coal red eyes. Others have said that they've seen them and taken pictures of very large tracks, which skinwalkers are said to leave. Now, the ranch, it's called Skinwalker Ranch because supposedly this is where there was a bunch of shape-shifting witches. And it was first homesteaded by the Myers family in 1905 and first consisted of a few small buildings on the northwest corner of the ranch, close to something that they call Skinwalker Ridge. Later, the original homestead was abandoned by the Myers and as they established a new home on the eastern side of the ranch. By the 1930s, it was occupied by Kenneth John Myers and his wife Edith Myers. They stayed on the property until 1987, and during their occupancy, they made no reports of any strange occurrences. So the Myers family were there for 80 plus years, 82. And never reported anything. and that needs to be brought up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did was there a rough date with the Navajo curse, or is that like
no
ancient?
Is there no documentation for that at all? Like,
not really. I didn't really find anything.
I mean, I guess not all. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it was like a warring tribe.
We haven't been exactly.
That would be a long time ago.
Yeah, it would be a long time ago, and it's not exactly like we've done a lot to preserve Native American history.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So, yeah, if we're just being honest here.
Yeah, this is the month to be honest about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know, right? Uh-huh. Now, in the meantime, other events happened, like, in the area of that, specifically in a basin close to Sherman, close to the then Myers Ranch. Numerous reports of unidentified flying objects continue through the next several decades. Interesting, these were not the first reports of a strange aircraft in the sky. The earliest mention is in the 1700s when Spanish explorers in the search of the Spanish Trail passed through the same basin and reported seeing a craft over the sky while they were sitting at a campfire. Now, lots of UFOs in that area, not specifically the ranch, but in the general vicinity. And this includes strange fireballs, aircrafts that range from the size of 20 to 30 feet across a large sky, some even the size of a football field. These are just what people say. And they were, some are described as your traditional oval. Some are, you know, the cigar shape. Some are dish-shaped. Some are triangular. There's every kind of UFO that you can imagine has been spotted around this ranch in like the surrounding area. Maybe not on it, but around it. Now, we're going to skip over that to where the Sherman family moved in. After the Myers vacated the ranch in 1987, it stood empty for 7 years before it was purchased by Terry and Gwen Sherman in 1994. The couple moved there with their two children and livestock, and they were surprised to find that the previous owners had placed deadbolt locks on all the doors, windows, including those inside the house, and some of these deadbolts were both the inside and the outside of the house. That's creepy to me. Like, I get doing inside, and deadbolts is pushing it for me. Deadbolt and windows. But deadbolt and the windows inside and outside?
Yeah.
What were they trying to keep in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even the kitchen cabinets had bolts on them. And at both ends of the house, yeah, iron stakes and heavy chains had been installed, which Sherman guessed were used by the previous tenants for large dogs.
I remember like, that.
Yeah, stakes inside the house, like basically inside the floor with large chains.
Yeah, I remember there being a lot of really weird circumstances there and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the Shermans are just like, well, this is weird. But maybe they had some really big dogs. Now.
Deadbolted everything.
Deadbolted everything.
Just inside deadbolt the hell house inside. Keep them in there.
The very. Yeah. The very day they took possession, the family spotted a large coyote or wolf in one of their pastures, which soon approached, making its way to the livestock pen. It then grabbed a calf by the nose, trying to drag it through the corral bars. Terry Sherman and his father then began to beat the animal to make it release the calf, but were unsuccessful. When that failed, Sherman shot the animal with a .357 Magnum at point-blank range, but still, the wolf held on to the calf. After another shot, it released the calf and just stood there calmly, looking at both men. After a few more shots, the animal trotted off. Amazing, there was no blood or sign or injury from the animal. The men then followed the tracks of the animal for about a mile before they suddenly ended, as if it simply vanished. This was just the first of many things that they would encounter. A few weeks later, Gwen Sherman was in her car and encountered a wolf that was so large its back was parallel to the top of her window. That's like dire wolf size.
Yeah, I was thinking that earlier.
Yeah. The large wolf was accompanied by a dog-like animal that she couldn't identify. The Shermans and their neighbors would often see strange multicolored birds, hyena-like creatures, and other things on the ranch or the surrounding areas. And this caused multiple cattle mutilations. That was another thing, another interest of why there's people so interested in Sherman Skinwalker Ranch is because of the amount of cattle mutilations that have happened there.
Have those been documented at all? Like, because I know
we see them on our typical sites, but like news source, and there have been reports of it, but I'm going to get I'm saving that for the last.
Okay, group, because I meant the reason why is groups like MUFON, I think, have like the people that investigate, and I know Skinwalker is so famous, so they have bound to have.
I'm sure MUFON has been to Skinwalker Ranch. I'm sure a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, one of the dead cows had a peculiar hole in the center of its left eye, but otherwise was untouched. Another was found with a similar hole in its left eye and a 6-inch hole about an inch deep carved into its rectum. The last cow to be killed and mutilated had been seen alive by the Sherman son just 5 minutes earlier. And when he approached it, it had the 6-inch wide, 18-inch hole cored out of its rectum that extended into the body cavity. In all three cases, there was no trace of blood found, a chemical odor was apparent, and no evidence of predators or footprints or tire tracks.
They were just identifying the cows.
They were just identifying the cows.
the previous episode.
Yeah, from the previous episode.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Hey, Betsy.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're going to drain all your blood now.
We're going to drain all your blood. Of the cattle that disappeared, one seemed to be magically lifted from the snow. Its hoof prints left into the field and then just simply stopped. The ground was littered with broken twigs, branches, and the tops of trees appeared to have been cut off. Now, after this, the Shermans are just like, fuck this. Tired of seeing cryptic creatures, and they've claimed to see other stuff too, but I'm saving this moment. This is Skinwalker, but they saw UFOs, holes in the sky, all sorts of crazy shit.
Okay.
But they were just like, nope, peace out. We're gone. And this was bought by Robert Bigelow, who is an aerospace engineer and a billionaire. And he read the story in the newspaper and immediately bought the ranch from the Shermans and got them to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, for them to not talk about some of the things that happened there. And that's kind of where this story ends on that, because Skinwalker Ranch is a big paranormal research. Lots of people there. Robert Bigelow and owns it now, has a research team out there all the time. George Knapp, who is a Nevada investigative reporter, went out there, and he has some tremendous articles about some of the occurrences that happen on Skinwalker Ranch.
Quick addendum real quick. Bigelow technically doesn't own it anymore. In 2016, he sold it for $4.5 million to Adamantium Holdings, a shell corporation of unknown origin.
Yeah.
So,
fair enough.
After this purchase, all roads leading to the ranch have been blocked and the perimeter secured and guarded by cameras and barbed wire. Surrounded by signs to prevent people from approaching the ranch. So, yeah, there you go.
Interesting.
I just wanted to note that real quick.
That's fair. I completely missed that because I wasn't diving too deep in outside of the cryptid spottings.
Mm-hmm.
There's been rumors that like there's a defense contract with our Department of Defense that works with some of these companies that have researched Skinwalker Ranch. Now, I want to add another little note to it. This story recently just came out where there's been some people that have disputed some of the things of Skinwalker Ranch. It's widely available when it has a little more meat to its bones and has people rebuttaling it. I'll bring it back up. But they say that some of the sightings there that, you know, have been reported on the last 20 years of Skinwalker Ranch have been disputed, and that some of the stuff that they've brought forth themselves that have no paranormal occurrences whatsoever were basically suppressed and buried until they basically leaked it and whistleblowed. So that's just another little note to add about Sherman Ranch. Now, theories.
There's one more thing to add.
I'm holding.
Well, I just put in something in the chat too. There was a guy that came out claiming that he owns it, and apparently he does. His name's Brandon Fugel. He's 46. He's a Utah real estate tycoon.
Mm-hmm.
I put the article in there. But something to note, just as a note, the name Skinwalker Ranch in 2017 was filed for trademark. It was issued in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So that was after the sale to Adamantium Holdings, which I guess this Brandon Fugel maybe owns that shell corp.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, what's interesting about that is so say this is, like you said, how many years? You said it was 80-something years that people lived there and nothing happened?
And nothing happened.
So if Bigelow bought a, just play devil, you know, devil's advocate to the skeptic side of things here. If Bigelow bought it and it was a lemon, because I think Bigelow, from what I've seen about him with interviews, he's someone who's genuinely interested in a very, very wealthy person who's very interested in UFOs and, you know, like alien contacts and sites like that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like Skinwalker. Now, so if he bought it and it was a lemon, maybe this guy, he's a real estate tycoon. Maybe he's trying to turn it into like a fucking theme park or some shit. You know what I mean? Or like, who knows? Just play devil's advocate to like the skeptic side of things here. But I don't know.
Yeah. Now, this is the thing that, you know, pops up to me that I find incredibly weird. It's the fucking stakes in the Ned Myers Ranch that keeps on making, that I'm fixating on.
The dog stakes?
Yeah.
The dog stakes, like, and the chains. And the bolts on the inside and the outside. And the bolts on the cabinets.
Are there pictures and stuff of this, like, out there circulating? Or is there any actual evidence?
I remember pictures a long time ago, but they could have easily been, you know,
yeah,
faked or whatever. But if that is true, what if the Myers family were skinwalkers?
Oh shit. Yeah.
Crazy theory here.
That's a good point. Oh shit. Yeah.
What if they were skinwalkers themselves, or some kind of beast that resembled skinwalkers, maybe, you know, werewolves even.
Sure.
And like, yeah, and when they couldn't get out, like, say that they couldn't control transformation, or say that like they had a baby skinwalker that couldn't quite control its shit, they would just chain it into the house.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Bolt everything down, deadbolt the windows on the inside, the outside, even deadbolt the kitchen cabinets so that little fucker can't eat all the fucking food and destroy everything. And that's where my mind went. I was just like, they were keeping something in there. Or that they took, or they captured skinwalkers themselves and kept them for whatever fucking reason.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. That they somehow got their hands on it. But my question is if the Myers family was able to get a hold of skinwalkers, how, like, if skinwalkers have the supposed powers that people claim, and as I said, it's all spread out all over the place. How would you control that if it could just stare at you and basically possess your body?
And
or if it can run 200 miles in a fucking night.
Well, and it seems more like a spirit, right? Mm-hmm. From everything that's been described, doesn't seem like it's something entirely corporeal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I don't know. Like, I think it, you know, going to the other side of the coin here, if it's like, if we just take it for granted that some of these stories are real, and this is just some major weak point, you know, with all the UFO activity and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then it is possible that there are these, you know, possibly dark shaman shapeshifters that can turn in, you know, like the myth goes, right? And that's a very common theme in shamanism is what's called therianthropy. And that's basically, you know, the concept of these half animal, half human beings, right? And that goes back through numerous mythologies, you know, like Egyptian mythology and everything else, right? So, I don't know. Like, maybe it is something like that. If it's real. I mean, I don't know. I think
if it's real,
there is a lot to kind of sit back and consider on that front. I do love the stories out of Skinwalker, personally. But I'm not necessarily sold.
nor am I. Do I believe in the original Navajo curse of the Skinwalker?
Yeah.
Of a corrupt shaman doing fucked up shit? Yeah,
I do.
Absolutely. Do I believe everything that happened? No. Yeah. And there might be nuggets of truth there, but you also got to remember we are the internet. We created Slenderman. We've created so many different cryptids that it's hard to decipher what is true and not true. Like, the Skinwalker could very much be a corrupted witch that can shapeshift into just a coyote, but we don't know if it's some kind of gargantuan beast with a crazy head, because from what I understand reading the Navajo stuff, is it just would turn into a coyote, an owl, a fox, and just boom, run off.
Well,
I don't see anything about a huge creature that's capable of just like slaughtering shit.
Well, there's also the idea of, you know, it being perception based, right? So like whatever these creatures really are, maybe they are just demons or something, but because people expect to see skinwalkers there, that's what they see. I mean, that's another possibility.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What do you think, David?
I'm going with evil witch doctor who became corrupted by power or maybe some other dark entity or something. Yes. I am trying to figure out more about this shell company, and it's hard to find info, but there is, according to Bizipedia, there is one principal on record, and that is Laureen A. Wright from Highland, Utah. She also owns, looks like a total of three shell companies. Adamantium Holdings is one. Ofria for Real Women LLC is another. I don't know what the fuck that is. And X23 Holdings LLC.
X23, that's not weird at all.
That's not weird at all. It's nothing weird about that.
Adamantium and X23. Now think about this.
Oh no, I connected it when you said with the first
Weapon
one.
Weapon X here, man.
Yeah.
Weapon X and adamantium. Yep. Like,
pretty
what
much,
the
yeah.
Do we got, like, the more I hear about that, like the first one, I was like, that's a little weird.
And
but the
X23. Right?
Yeah. What? Yeah, that all three of those together just make me go, is this real? Or is this just some rich comic book nerd literally trolling the fuck out of people?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. It could be. Because, like, Wolverine is the most, like, similar thing to, like, I guess a Skinwalker if you were, like, a X-Men nerd, right? Like, you know, it's just beastly, like, dude who's just feral and you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Animal-like. But it's just, it's just weird. X23.
Yeah.
What was the other one again?
Oh, let me actually try to look this up on the other. Sorry, it is. Ofria for Real Women LLC. I don't know what that's supposed to be, but all of these shell companies were made within a year of each other. They are between about 12 to 13 years old at this point. Now, Adamantium Holdings has an annual revenue of $80,000 and apparently has two employees. I am trying to look up info on the others, but I don't think I'm going to find anything else. X23, what? Never mind. It just returned like 120,000 search results somehow.
Wow.
Makes no sense. Yeah, I don't know. It's, I can't really find exactly, I can't pinpoint who the person who Laureen Wright is, without some more digging. Because there's a couple of people who share her name.
Are there any neighbors or anything that, like, have corroborated any of these stories at all, or, like, experiences of any kind? I know you said UFO sightings are common.
Yeah, that, like, neighbors have saw like, strange, like, weird colored birds and, like, animals that just kind of seemed out of place there.
So it's not just the Shermans, then.
So it's not, not just the Shermans.
Maybe that gateway, whatever it is, or weak point wasn't open when the other family lived there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or like you said, it's weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I've also read something about there being like weird ritual or evidence of like rituals and stuff being done on site.
Mm-hmm.
Which again, if it is a weak point, like then I guess that would make sense if you were going to try to call some kind of fucking demon or something. You would want to go somewhere where there's easy access, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and there's all sorts of different theories about the Sherman Ranch of, like, I've heard the same thing, rituals. I've heard about ley lines. I've heard just, like, the shaman curse, that it's a portal for extraterrestrials or astral beings to come in. There's all sorts of shit I've heard about it, and it's a lot of speculation. Do I think that there's, you know, strange shit going on there? Yeah. Do I think?
No, go ahead.
Do I think it's? Do I think that the Skinwalker Ranch is hyped up more than it needs to be? A little bit, and I wouldn't be shocked if X23 Corporation makes a theme park out of it.
Yeah, the trademark thing bothers me.
On that note, this almost certainly is not related, but there is a company called Adamantium. It's based in Spain, and it looks like they deal in like luxury homes. Our mission is to bring the art of luxury lifestyle in every room. Who is looking for luxury will always find Adamantium, a deep understanding of their aspirations. Terrible translation. But so we've got like luxury dealers peddling in Skinwalkers. Maybe that's,
is that the same company?
No, it's not. I highly doubt it. I don't think there's a link to it. But it has the same name, which I found really amusing.
I just figured that guy's a real estate tycoon. So,
yeah. Maybe they have like Skinwalker like statues that they sell to people. That could be a thing.
Let's see. I don't know. I mean, I really like the stories I've read about the things that happen and stuff there. But again, everything else I read kind of bothers me and kind of points towards it being a bit of a scam.
I would not be shocked if a theme park going up in the next like 10 years.
But at the same time, it could be both, right? I mean, there could be a weak point and they may want to turn it into a theme park because everything else has been commercialized. Why not a authentic haunted location, right? You know, like Jurassic Park, you sign a waiver and like, you know, if you get eaten by the local creatures, then, you know, it's not their fault, right? Like, maybe it's
part
gonna
of
be
the
like,
adventure.
It's part of the fucking.
What if, what if it's like a private club for like billionaires to like be like, I'm gonna go fucking see some aliens and shit, you know, or to, I don't know, have some creepy fucking ceremonies and summon demons and shit.
It's like the occult version of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. I don't know. There's an idea for you. Yeah. Let's roll with that one. That's a good movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Except everything goes horribly wrong and they all get possessed by Cthulhu
and,
or something.
And murdered. And murdered. Yeah. Because, you know, we're talking about, you know, a bunch of elite assholes. So, yeah.
Right.
It's, this is a movie for the masses. Yeah.
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 Like The Purge, but with supernatural doing the purging.
With like supernatural dog head creature smoking cigarettes with baseball bats.
Oh, this is going to be a great movie.
Yeah. Just like it has a dog head smoking a cigarette and it has a baseball bat with barbed wire on it. It's just like, I'm gonna smash some heads.
It's like, hey, you've seen The Walking Dead, right? That's about to happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna go Gallagher on your ass.
Dude, I could totally watch this movie. You know what this reminds me of?
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods. Yeah, that's such a fucking great movie.
What they're doing? What if they're setting up like a fucking cabin in the woods type situation, and there's actually like some evil fucking ancient god like underneath, buried deep within the earth underneath Skinwalker Ranch, and that's what this is. It's like a sacrifice site, just another sacrifice site they're gonna be setting up. It's such a good movie. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that one.
Yeah,
that's my.
It's a good theory.
We're going with that. Cabin in the Woods. That's my choice. That's what's really going on.
Yeah. Mine is that the Myers family went to Skinwalker Rescue. Got a Skinwalker that was, you know, not the most well behaved.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's kind of like everybody's just like, oh, you think like renting with a pit bull's hard? Try renting with a skinwalker. So that's my thing. I think there was something fishy there. And I think that the Myers family knew something and they just stayed hush hush. Now, I think a lot of the other shit that's happening at Skinwalker Ranch is a little bogus.
Yeah.
I said it. It's just too much isolated in one area for it to be true to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably
kind of like the guy with the samurai sword chopping up aliens.
Yes, like John Edmonds who was chopping up aliens. That was just way too much shit in one story for me to be like, I believe this. There was that little smidge of doubt that was like, actually, it could be.
You know, I believe that one more because it is more outrageous, and I feel like some kind of entity genuinely fucking with that guy.
Really? Yeah, just like an entity just like trolling with him.
A trickster. He was just fucking trolling him. I don't know. I don't know why, but I'm more inclined to believe it just because it was so just out there. Like, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, maybe it's a similar situation.
Hmm.
What's your theory, David? Besides the... Oh, you think this shit's real? What do you think is going on, David? Besides the dark shaman thing, is there?
Yeah.
With everything you know now, with the holdings and everything.
You know, it's privatized for some reason. That's covering something up, or whether it's just gonna be, you know, commodified at some later date. I can't really say.
Probably.
Seems like it might be just... Yeah, I mean, who knows? It's a shell company owned by one person. Like, there's no telling what they're going to do with that.
Shady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do we have any more thoughts?
No.
I do not.
Yeah. Well,
other than don't go to a cult Jurassic Park.
Just... Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, don't go to a cult Jurassic Park.
I think I would rather deal with the dinosaurs than some demon spirit that you just can't ever have any hope of running away from or surviving. Yeah.
It reminds me of all those Cabin in the Wood memes that have been going around for 2020, just because 2020 has been so insane, and it's like the betting pool, and they're just like,
yeah,
you know, like, what's the next apocalyptic, you know, just Armageddon thing that's going to happen this year, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, okay. I say we'll call that one a wrap. We're the High Kind. If you like what you hear, we're on every podcast platform. Give some subscriptions, likes, faves, leave a review. It helps people find the show. Or you can visit us at thehighkind.com. We have lots of bonus material that we post there. And we will be back Thursday talking to... We have a few ghost stories that are actually have happened that of people we've communicated with, and we will be going over them and offering our weird theories. And I'm looking into, hopefully next week, we're going to have a psychic interview, and hoping that cement that. But we will be back, and see you Thursday.
Yep.
See you later.
Bye.